word. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for this word that you have for us today. We ask you to give us eyes to see and ears to hear what your Spirit is saying to us today, and hearts to respond and obey and take action, Lord, where that is required, Lord. And we'll give you all the praise and glory. In Jesus' name, somebody say amen. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Well, yeah, just to echo again what Shelley was saying about our confessions of faith and so forth. I was reading in my devotional this morning about it's what we believe and comes out of our mouth that changes things, right? Not just making faith confessions randomly because that's what I want to say, you know. And it is important to use our words and make confessions and so forth, but we need to be developing our faith in God and in who God is. And that's why going back to the Word and spending time with Jesus every day, your faith will grow stronger every day as we spend time with Him every day. Amen? And so that's just, but I'm just really looking forward to continuing to do some of these things. Amen? And just watch God move. Amen? He is so good to us, and He has great plans and great purposes and great power, and it's all about Him. Amen? Well, we're going to continue today in our nine fruits and nine gifts message. Next week, we'll probably be diverting a bit because it's our six-year anniversary, so God's given me a special word just for that day. But this one, you know, we're in no hurry to get through it. This will probably be in the nine fruits and nine gifts theme, unless the Lord changes it into October, I'm thinking. So praise the Lord. Amen. And we could certainly just keep going from there, but that's what I feel stirred to do. But our foundation text for this year continues to be Romans 15:13, and it says, "Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." So how do we abound in hope today? By the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen? The world has invented ways to have hope. You know, there's false religions that create ways. And really, a lot of, you know, as we studied and shared last week, if you could go back in the archives on our website, and the message last week was entitled "The Fruit of Joy," and we shared some things about other faiths and so forth. But there's really not a lot of hope in other faiths besides faith in Jesus, right? Why? Because it's all about you and your works. And I don't know about you, but if it's about me and my works, I'm hopeless. Amen? Amen. We rented an old Disney, or actually purchased an old Disney movie called Blackbeard's Ghost this week. And it is funny, right? But his whole thing was, "I've just been too bad. I've done nothing good to redeem myself." And that's what religion is. Have you done enough good things to outweigh the bad things? Right? And you're just kind of always on the edge of, in pirate terms, on the plank, right? Just how close are you to the end of the plank? Well, take one more step and you'll find out, right? But with Jesus, it's all about just accepting the sacrifice that Jesus made for you, period. Amen? You don't have to do anything else to be saved, right? And other faiths don't really, not really extremely clear about what you're being saved from or what you're being saved to, right? Some believe that you're saved from just not existing anymore. God might resurrect you and you can be alive in the millennium, but you'll never be good enough to go to heaven. Some believe that you'll get to rule other planets and be like many other gods that are already out there, right? Just lies, just make-believe. Fantasy, might as well be Tinkerbell, right? Some believe, well, then you won't come back as a frog in your next life, right? If you do some good things in this life, you might come back a little bit richer. Maybe, you know, maybe your skin will be a little bit more complected like you like. Maybe you'll be in a better family, you know. They're just lies, untruths, right? If you do enough good deeds, good actions, keep your, you know, nose up and all these kind of things. But it's just lies. It's just religion, not based on the truth at all, right? Somebody say, "Jesus has saved me." right? And there's no other way. And there are other faiths that acknowledge the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, the blood of Jesus, but you still have to do this list of things to be saved. Not true. Here's the difference. You ready? I do the things that I do now because I'm saved. I receive communion. I get baptized. I stop lying and cussing and chewing and going with those who are doing. Because I'm saved. Not in order to be saved. See? See the difference? I serve God and listen to His voice and walk in obedience because I love Him and because I received His love for me. Amen. And when I mess up, not if, and when I mess up, I come to Him. I run to Him. We talked last week about how King David blew it big time. But he didn't run away from God. He ran to God. Why? Because he knew God loves me. King David is a tremendous example of so many things, of our strengths and weaknesses in our lives, right? And he would say the most recent one I was reading was where he asked his commander Joab to go and count how many military able men we have in the land. And Joab said, "We ought not do that." And King David, I want to know how many there are. How many warriors do we have? And he got in trouble with God for that too, right? And Joab didn't do the whole job because he knew it was wrong. And King David found out later, yep, I blew it again. Lord, I apologize. And the Lord gave him like three or four choices of things that are going to happen. You could be delivered into the hand of your enemies for a certain amount of time. There could be plague in your land for a certain amount of time. He gave him these choices. And King David said this. He said, "You know what? Let me fall into the hands of God rather than into the hands of men. Because with God there is great mercy." Hallelujah. What wisdom. He did something stupid, but he came back to the wisdom. Amen. We serve a God of great mercy. Amen. And he's created there's a place called heaven for you and me that is real. Oop. We'll talk more about that later. That is real. Amen. That is for you. Amen. Some believe that heaven is just for 144,000 people that the book of Revelation talks about, and that is it. And your only hope is that you come back in the reign of Christ and that God chooses to resurrect you and you just ain't good enough. Well, these are lies. These are lies. Amen. We receive Jesus as Lord of our lives. We're saved. We're on our way to heaven. Amen. So our hope, how do we abound in that hope? We abound in that hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit reminds me of the things Jesus said. He doesn't remind me of the things Joseph Smith said, or the Mormon Bible, or the catechism, or whatever these things are, right? He reminds you of things that Jesus did for you. You know, Steve, why you don't have to put up with that high blood pressure? Because by His stripes you were made whole. Yeah, but my readings just said, 147 over 95 again. What are you going to believe, Steve? Right? I believe the Word of God says I'm healed. I'll tell you what, battling with this in my life, I started taking these scriptures that we just went through, all those confessions, every time I take my pills. Because why? Because this is medicine. This is medicine. And it's working. And my blood pressure is now under control. Praise God. Amen? Don't you know we serve a God who wants us well? Wants us well. Amen? Not because you've done, and you start going through those questions. Okay, is God mad at me? Because this thing is off in my body, right? I don't know about you, but Jesus does not have high blood pressure today. He doesn't have cancer. He doesn't have the flu. He doesn't have a problem with drugs. So if anybody has that stuff, we need to come to Jesus and get rid of it. Why? Because oneness with Jesus, communion, fellowship. You know why the devil comes after? Not because he just wants you to be sick, because he wants you and Jesus to be at an arm's length. You know why Jesus wants you well and free and blessed? Because he wants oneness with you. And I love the story that Shelley was reading in the Bible. And it said that Jesus came as he was into the boat, right? We just need to accept Jesus as he is, amen, and believe him to be who he is in our lives and not be swayed by how I'm different than him. And I love, it's either the word Christ or Lord. I did a word study on it, and it defines him as the one who makes up the difference between me and him. Oh, thank you, Lord, because there's a difference. How many know there's a difference between me and Jesus, between you and him? There's a difference. But in his name, he put it there. I'm the one who will make up the difference. Thank you, Lord. That means I'm going to be well. It means I'm going to be rich. It means I'm going to be full of the joy of the Lord. Yes, I did say rich, because he is rich. Mansions in heaven, streets of gold in heaven, right? Beautiful things in heaven. Amen. Praise the Lord. God isn't against you being rich. He's against riches having you. And don't you know poverty could have somebody? There's people out there right now living on their poverty. Their poverty is their God. Just like there's people out there living right now, their riches are their God. So we just come to Jesus. We say, Lord, I love you. I'm going to love you with all my life. I'm going to love you with all my wealth, all my health. Praise God. If I was a quadrillionaire right now, I'd still be here doing what I'm doing right now. I wouldn't be out doing some bizarre thing. Amen. I'd be preaching the word, teaching the word, loving God. Amen. May not be killing bugs on Monday. There's lots of opportunity to minister in those situations too. Amen. And whatever job it is that you do. Praise the Lord. But we're increasing. Somebody say, I'm increasing. See, the Holy Ghost reminds you, you're increasing. Why? Because that's what he does. That gives me hope. That gives me hope to think I'm increasing. Glory to God. There's scriptures that talk about that. Amen. He is the God of hope, and he fills you with joy and peace in believing. Thank you, Lord, for that. And we're spending time focusing on the big 18, as Brother Copeland called them, right? Receiving and activating the fruits and gifts of the Holy Spirit. And I heard Pastor Greg from Eagle Mountain teach on this week, and it made a lot of sense. The gifts of the Spirit will manifest a lot more readily and fluently and actively if the fruits are in place. Amen? The fruits are like prerequisite to the gifts, right? When you look at the gifts in 1 Corinthians 12 there in your notes, it says this, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another interpretation of tongues, right? So these are gifts of the Spirit. And the fruits of the Spirit in Galatians 5 says this, but the fruit of the Spirit is, in verses 22, 23 there in your notes, the fruit of the Spirit is love. Somebody say love, right? So he doesn't want me out there giving prophetic words to people if I'm not a loving person. Does that sound like God to amen? If I'm a loving person, then I'm not out there, you know, telling lies to people and being mean and short-tempered and ornery, right? Amen? No, the gifts of the Spirit are going to operate a lot more fluently if we're walking in love to people. Amen? They're going to, you know, last a lot longer too. Amen? Joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. But we get, you know, oftentimes in the church, we get more focused on wanting the gifts of the Spirit rather than the fruits of the Spirit. Amen? But we have to have be yielding in the habit of yielding to the fruits of the Spirit if we ever want to see the gifts of the Spirit. Not, you can ask people, why is there, you know, in a lot of cases, the power of God seems to be missing from the church? Well, maybe it's because the church ain't walking in the fruits of the Spirit, right? Instead of focusing on the gifts that maybe aren't being seen fluently in operation, maybe there's a love problem, right? Maybe there's a joy, the lacking joy, right? Maybe folks aren't being kind and patient Maybe there's not enough goodness or faithfulness or gentleness or self-control going on in the body of Christ, right? So these are checkpoints for us to watch individually in our own lives. Amen? And then as we're in the habit of yielding to the fruits, then we can start looking for the gifts and believing God for the gifts. Amen? Doesn't mean we're ever going to be perfect until Jesus returns, but we can walk in a perfect heart to God where we're sensitive to Him daily, keeping in Jesus' presence, choosing to yield to His love and joy, and that the Holy Spirit will show you, He'll notify you if we're off. Not if, when. When is more accurate. Steve, you're getting off, you're getting off, you're getting off the fruit, getting off, get back in the fruit, get out of the junk food, get into the fruit. Amen? And that's where we live. We live in the Holy Ghost, in the presence of God. Well, today we're going to talk about the fruit of peace. Somebody say peace. Amen? In Philippians 4, and there again are just a lot of verses that we could move into on the peace of God, but this is where I feel directed. Philippians 4, verses 1 through 7. And Paul says this, "Therefore, my beloved and longed for brethren, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, beloved." Now, I really love Paul, his heart. You know, he uses that word beloved a lot. And it's not just being religious. He loves his people. We're still Paul's disciples in a lot of ways, right? When we get to heaven, we're going to go, "Paul, thank you for writing Philippians by the Holy Ghost," right? And all these other. But the love, it's what's going to keep us standing fast in the Lord. You won't stand fast in something if you're not loved, unless somebody's controlling you. And there's manipulation involved and fear involved, you know, which is what a lot of other faiths, you know, that's what it is. Control by men. It's some of these other faiths, someone will come to your house and ask you how much money you make, and that's how much you're going to be giving to the church. They'll tell you, here's what you give, right? It's control, right? But we give, for example, in our tithes and offerings because we love God, right? We're beloved. And the love is what keeps me standing firm in my faith. Because I love God, and I know God loves me, and I love you. Amen? Love the body of Christ. That keeps us grounded in the faith. Praise the Lord. There's a lot of people today by the thousands that are not in church. That are not in church, and they know they're supposed to be in church, but they just, every Sunday comes and they're not here. Every Sunday comes and they're not in church, and they're not in church. Right? Why? Because they ain't walking in love. That's why. Right? They're fellowshipping on the river with God or whatever. You know, they make up, like fish stories, they make up stories about why they're not in the body of Christ. Right? Well, we come to church not because we're supposed to, but because we love God. And we love His people. Right? Amen. He says, "I implore Euodia and I implore Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord." Maybe there was a little discord or strife going on there. And he called them out by name. Maybe these are key leaders. "Hey guys, be of the same mind in the Lord." Right? Remember, it's about love. The fruit of love there, right? "And I urge you also, true companion, help these women who labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life." And they're not in the book of life because they were doing the works. They're in the book of life because they're saved. Amen? "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice." Verse 5, "Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing." Now, this is a commandment, right? Anxiety has no place in our lives. Fear, worry, amen? "But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." Verse 7, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." So when you're praying, you're bringing your petitions, your cares, your concerns, anxieties, issues to God. The Lord told me a long time ago, "Steve, don't hide your pain from me." Like, you know, be such a faith guy that you can't, you're not even going to tell me about it. It's like, no, you don't got to tell Oprah. Tell me. Don't need to tell Dr. Phil or a psychologist. Just bring it to me. Bring your pain. Tell me about it. What's hurting? And what are you doing? You're rolling the care of that issue onto God. And then you proceed in your faith and grow and live a free life. Amen? Live a free life today. I was talking to the Lord about this the other day, and he said, son, just follow me today. I was getting overwhelmed with tomorrow and years to come. And, just, you know, the devil just takes you down the road of stuff that isn't even here yet. And the Lord spoke as plain as day to me in my heart, not audibly, but in my spirit. He said, Steve, just follow me today. That sounds like, if you do that today and then you're doing it tomorrow and next Tuesday and a month from now, man, we're going to be in higher places with God doing that. Amen? And that's where Jesus' heart is. Just follow me today. That's what means most to him, right? Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer, verse 6, and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Will guard your hearts and minds. We need to be people that are guarding our hearts and guarding our minds in Christ Jesus. How do we do that? He just told us how to do that. We come to God with it. Amen? We don't just allow anything in our heart and in our mind. We don't just believe everything we hear. We check it with the Word. We check it with the Holy Ghost and with the Word of God, right? We don't believe every prophecy that comes out of who knows where, right? Amen. We check it with the Word. I don't care how long that organization has been there. Does it line up with the Word? Amen. I don't care how rich that guy looks. Does it line up with the Word? Amen. I don't care. Praise God for doctors, but I don't care what the doctor says. Does this line up with the Word of God for my life? Does 30 days to live line up with the Word of God? No. Amen. So I'm saying the Word of God. I'm speaking the Word of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Does depression line up with that? Well, I don't care what my heart is telling me right now. I don't care what my body is telling me right now. Does it line up with the Word of God? Amen. And we act accordingly, we speak accordingly, right? Speaking over our bodies. And this is the key part right here that the Lord wanted us to look at today. The peace of God surpasses all understanding. Let's say that three times. The peace of God surpasses all understanding. The peace of God surpasses all understanding. The peace of God surpasses all understanding. Amen. Amen. Surpasses all understanding. That doesn't mean you're stupid, right? Amen. It just means there's a higher place to go than how I feel right now, right? It just means that even though I basically have, I guess it would be equivalent to 2 associate degrees, doesn't mean I'm limited somehow by that. Just because you haven't graduated high school yet or you never did graduate high school. I saw a car the other day, or not the other day, I guess it was last year actually, up in Tacoma or somewhere. And it was a nice Mercedes, and on his license plate it said, high school dropout. Amen. That man found a way to prosper outside of what, you know, the 9th grade chemistry teacher believed or whatever, you know? Amen? So we're not limited by our education. We're not limited by our income. We're not limited. In the natural we are, right? But before God, man, if he's leading you to do something, you just need to do that. Be in church. Be in the Word. Not saying drop out of school, stop going to school. If he's called you to education, be in education. If he's called you to be in pest control, be in pest control. If he's called you to pastor, be a pastor. If he's called you to do both, do both. Amen. And what did Jesus tell me the other day? Just be good at following me today. Glory to his name forevermore. Amen. That's what it's all about. Stuff starts happening and you know, bells start ringing and panic buttons start going off, what do? Keep our eyes on him. Keep our eyes on him no matter what. Somebody say, no matter what. What is this called? This is called keeping yourself in the peace of God. The peace of God is not going to operate of its own accord, in other words, which is what some would believe, right? I have to keep myself in the peace of God. It's a self-keeping we're talking about here, right? Where I take my own understanding about any situation and say, you know what, here's what I understand about this situation, but I therefore, by the power of the Holy Ghost, I submit my understanding to this situation to Jesus, to the Word of God. Amen? And the word peace here translates this. Here's some words that would translate to peace. To join, right? And here we're talking specifically about Jesus. We're talking about walking in oneness with Jesus. We're on Team Jesus. Amen? To join. Prosperity is a word for peace, right? That's why we ought to be believing for increase financially. The blessing of God is on your tithes and offerings. Amen? One. Somebody say one. Oneness, oneness, oneness. That's a huge thing with the Lord, is oneness with Him. Don't let anything get between you and Jesus. Don't let anything get between you and Jesus. The Lord told me, late last year or something, some things I was going through, and he spoke in my spirit again, and he said that the enemy is after our fellowship. And he didn't say he was going to fix it. He already did fix it. Who's he telling who's got to be on guard here? I have to be on guard. Right? Don't let him have our fellowship. Amen. Our oneness. Right? Quietness is another word for peace, right? It's good to have quiet times with the Lord. You know, sometimes the Lord's been walking me through some things again where I just sit there and close my eyes and kind of pray in the Spirit, but I'm really quiet and still just for several minutes. You know, we don't have much time like that in our lives right now, in this day and age where everything is right now. Phone calls, texts, emails, you know, it's you know, stuff to do, schedules. Well, it's good to just take some time and be quiet before God, where everything's still, quiet. I've just been going outside in our patio in the evening when it's nice out and just sit there. Shut my eyes, not reading the Word, not praying much, just quiet myself before the Lord. After a time in the Word is good, better, you know, because your mind will start wandering. Ask me how I know. So it's focusing on Him. Oh, bring myself back in. I'm thinking about tomorrow. I'm thinking about who's yelling in the house. Just kidding. I'm just kidding, kids. Thinking about if the dog is digging around the corner. No. You know what you do? You get distracted by stuff. So it's good to practice the art of focus on God. I'm just going to take 7 minutes right now. Okay, five. And pretty soon it'll be 11. And it'll seem like it was 7 because it goes quick, right? But you're just, what are you doing? You're quieting yourself, turning off the phones, turning off the, you know, the distractions, and just saying, Jesus, it's just you and me, just you and me. Everything's going to be all right. Pray in the Spirit and just listen. Just be still before Him. Quietness. Rest. Peace is about rest. You can be in the middle of a chaotic situation and yet be at rest. If Jesus is Lord of our lives and we're spending our time with Him and dwelling in Him and with Him, then we can be in the midst of a chaotic day, because how many know we have no control over what other people do? How people drive, how people act at work, what's going on at work, what's going on, you know, around us. But at the peace of God, then we can be at rest and yet be working. And I'm way more effective at work if I'm at rest on the inside. Amen? Praise the Lord. I don't have people calling in complaining about me cutting them off on the freeway. I had somebody do that in one of our meetings this week. They were going over some safety things about, you know, servicemen, how they drive. And even Steve got a call this week. Even Steve. Okay, great. At least that means it's probably not a whole lot. Even Steve got a call. He cut somebody off on the freeway. Ah, ha, ha. We didn't take it serious. It's like, okay, well, I'm going to remember that. Right? But we're living at this rest in God. We can live at rest and yet not just be laying around being lazy. We're talking about not being rattled by stuff. Amen? Praise the Lord. To set at one again, oneness with Jesus, coming to Jesus. We just got to be living our life coming to Him. Amen? Coming to Jesus. What are you doing today? Coming to Jesus. Having a come to Jesus party. Right? Amen. So why are we doing that? Because I am determined not to be saved. I make sure I come to Jesus because I may not be saved. No, that's not what this is about. You are saved. How many people, I would venture a lot, okay? Just stepping out there, I know. Never have been to church their life, maybe here and there. Never cared much about reading the word, but they got saved somewhere and they're in heaven. Right? Because what do? They fulfilled the minimum requirement. They got saved. So all this stuff we're talking about is not about so I can be saved. No. We're just talking about loving God, loving Jesus, wanting to be an effective tool in His hand. Amen? When I get to heaven, I don't want to start in kindergarten class. Welcome to heaven, Steve. Oh, thank you. I'm so relieved to be here. Wow, now here's your kindergarten teacher, and you're going to be in this class for the next 500 years, but it's going to be great. It's going to be the best kindergarten class you've ever been in, because you're in heaven, right? Hallelujah. Right? Well, I believe we can get to a place with God where we get to heaven, and it's like, yeah, this is better than I thought, but man, you know some stuff. You love God, right? You don't want to look at Jesus when he gets there and think, does he even know who I am? Amen. We had a college professor in Mom and I had the same one in nursing studies. I was thinking about going into nursing for a while. It's another story. But there would be 80 people in the class, and this professor would call you by name on, the chemical chart. Oh, you had to be on your toes. I don't know how he even knew my name. I guess because he had all those chemicals memorized, he could memorize 80 people. And he was hilarious. He was a riot. He's the only reason I got a C in that class, because he had me on my toes, right? I don't want to get to heaven and be like, does Jesus even know who I am? Yes, he does, right? I want to be like, Jesus, hallelujah, right? Praise the Lord. Praise God. Amen. And I'd like to have a few other people there because of something maybe I did or shared with them. Right? Praise God. That's reward. That's what Paul's saying. He's calling us his jewels, his crown, the people that come closer to Jesus because of choices that he made. Praise the Lord forevermore, right? Somebody say, that's what I want, some jewels and some crowns and things when I get to heaven. I don't want to just get there and, well, here's your entry package. Amen. No. I want to be welcomed to heaven by several people. Right? Not just Jesus going, hey, come here, you're in heaven. Here we go. Because you prayed that prayer 27 years ago. Remember that prayer you prayed? Oh, at the funeral? Yeah. That's why I'm here? Yes. Praise the Lord, right? Glory to God. So oneness with Jesus. Oneness with Jesus. Somebody to say, I will follow you today, Lord. I will follow you today. Amen. And that word surpasses. In the King James, it's the word passeth, right? And that means to pass over. Praise God for all the junk that just passes over us when we're walking in the peace of God. All the worry, all the strife. This world is so riddled with strife and hatred and discord, and we don't have to have any of that. We don't have to participate in it. And issues, right? It just passes over you. Why? Because you got the blood of Jesus. You're walking in the peace of God today, right? Just go. And it also means, passeth means go by, right? How many cars today are passing by churches, not even thinking about, maybe I ought to be there today. Just passing on by. When we first moved here, we did a little study on how many cars pass by this building while we're here. And it's like, I don't know, it was like 500 or something. 500 cars every week pass by this building and many other churches. Maybe they're coming from church. Maybe not, right? But don't you know the curse, sickness, issues, they just pass right on by me. because I'm walking in the peace of God. They don't stick to me. That's a good confession to make, right? Stuff doesn't stick to me, doesn't bother me, doesn't get to me. Why? Because I'm walking in the peace of God. I just let that stuff pass on by. Amen, right? Because I'm walking in the peace of God. Excessively, the peace of God exceeds understanding, right? Beyond measure. Don't you know God has more ways to get you out of that thing than you'd ever thought of before? How many people today have been addicted to something for 32 years and have just absolutely quit on trying to look for ways to be free from that, but without remembering that God is smarter than me? Perhaps there's one or two things I haven't thought of. I can testify to you, God is smarter than me, and he showed me things in my own life after years of trying and failing and trying and failing and getting up and falling down and falling down and getting up. And you know what? I don't do that anymore. There's things that I used to do I don't do anymore. That under normal circumstances, I'd have quit. Right? The peace of God doesn't let you quit because he's always there. You remember Peter fell into the water? Jesus didn't go, ha, don't try to do this again. What did you learn? Me, God, you, man. Me, holy, you sinner. No, he reached down and pulled Peter back up and said, Peter, why did you stop believing? Why did you take your eyes off me? Right? So what do I learn from that? Keep my eyes on him and get back up again. Get back up again. Hallelujah. There needs to be a lot of get back up inside of you if you're going to live for Jesus all your life. You get used to getting back up. And then after a while, just like a two-year-old or one-year-old maybe is a better example, you won't fall down as much. And pretty soon you'll be an adult with God. And you won't fall down at all in those areas ever again. And somebody will come up to you that's fallen down those areas and you'll say, you know what you need to do, brother? Keep your eyes on Jesus and you won't be falling anymore. Praise God. And you're an encouragement to somebody. Instead of I know, I've been falling for 72 years too. Welcome to the club. No. We just let that stuff pass on by. Amen. Let the condemnation and guilt and regret and remorse, just let it pass on by. Amen. To hold oneself above, that word passeth, right? The peace of God passes all understanding. We have to be people that know how to hold ourselves above understanding. Hold the word of God as a higher authority than what I understand. Amen? I know I feel these symptoms in my body, but the Bible says in many places, we looked at 24 today, that I'm healed. So therefore, I hold that up above this situation. And I declare today I'm healed. And then just go about praising God, doing what you got to do, and celebrate any little change that you see, right? Like Shelley said, fishermen, even if they get a bite, I got a bite. Oh, it's a snag, all right? No, you're going to have a fish on. Amen? Hold oneself above. To excel, the peace of God will excel all understanding. God is quicker, he is higher. He is holier, he is smarter, he is wiser than everything any human being could ever understand. The smartest human being on planet Earth, nothing compared to God. Amen? Superior. The peace of God is superior to all understanding. It's higher and it's better. Somebody say it's better. Who's looking for something better in your life? Amen? Wherever you are, there's something better. There's a better place to be with God. Better marriage. That doesn't mean we're divorcing, right? Right? There's a better marriage. The pastor said there's a better marriage. That's the word I was looking for. So I'm filling out the form, right? No. It means wherever you're at in your marriage, God can make that better. Praise the Lord. And it has nothing to do with changing her. Amen. Lord, if you just change her, I'll have a better marriage. I believe you to change her. Praise the Lord, you know and I know what you need to change. No. Where is he going to start? He's going to start with me. How can you change me to be a better husband? Can I imagine being married to me? That'll give me some grace for her. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah, right? So there's better marriage. There's better, you know, job, better. Is he going to give me another job or is he going to make this one better? Well, we'll let him do both, right? Let's just believe God to make the job I got better and me a better employee. Amen. Or a better business, whatever the Holy Ghost is leading. Better ministry, you know, all these things. Better parenting. Hallelujah. Better in finances, all these things, right? The peace of God will make it better. It will make what we understand. It will be a higher thing than what we understand. It will make our life better. Amen. Walking in that peace. And understanding translates as the intellect, right? The mind. And that operates in the realms of thoughts, feelings, and our will, right? So we have to be people that recognize what is the Spirit, what is the Word of God, and what is my thoughts, feelings, and will. And my thoughts, feelings, and my will need to line up with the Word of God. I don't take the Word of God and make it line up with what I want, with my thoughts and my feelings. That's where you come up with different religions, right? That's what Joseph Smith fell into, right? He said he had a vision. And don't you know that the Bible talks about visions? Those can be godly things. But the Bible also says the devil comes as an angel of light. He's a fallen angel. And if an angel shows up to you and says, yep, the blood of Jesus was great, but you also need to do this and this and this, I'm going to give you the rest of the story because the Bible is incomplete. It is full of errors. And all the churches that preach Jesus are doing it wrong. There's about three things right there that should take off that angel outfit. There's some horns. I know it. There's a pitchfork somewhere, right? That's the devil, right? Amen. So we don't take the Word of God and conform it to how I feel. Right? Amen. I know the Bible says it's wrong to live in fornication, for example, but, you know, we get tax breaks for not being married. I've had that told me before. People that are living together out of wedlock, we get tax write-offs, and we love each other. Well, the Word of God says if you're not married, that's living in sin. So if you want the blessing, I'm just telling you, if you want the blessing of God, get married, man. That's where the blessing is. You know, at least two people that I've talked about that thing with, I never saw them again. They decided they didn't. I didn't tell them to go anywhere. They just never came back. Not here and other places, right? But we can't take the Word of God and try to change it to fit into what we believe. Amen. The Word of God stands. Hallelujah. And I'd like to stand. I'd like to be on top. So I'm going to trust what God's Word says. Amen. As we close today, I want to look at Mark chapter 4. Talk about Jesus. Amen. How many of you love Jesus? How many of you know Jesus loves you? Don't you know that there's a Father, there's a Heavenly Father that loves you? There's a Son that loves you. There's a Holy Spirit that loves you. And when we think about Jesus, you know, He's God and yet He's man. And God exalted a man to the Godhead. That's why many other faiths would say if you worship Jesus, you are an idolater. That's an idol. Well, that's not true. There's a mystery there, but it's not true. Jesus is my Lord. He's my King. He's God in the flesh. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And it also shows you that God, since we have a man in the Godhead, God has exalted you above your circumstances. Amen. Mark 4, 35 through 41 says this. On the same day, you know, I just can't get past some of these words. How soon could God do that miracle in your life? He could do it on the same day you asked. This, that word today keeps coming. When I'm praying today. Lord, it's today. Today something's going to happen. Hallelujah. I love Shelley's title for the giving right now. What is it? Finding faith in something happening. Thank you, Chad. If I was still a children's pastor, you would get a handful of candy up front. That's what we used to do. Come on up, Chad. Get yourself. No, just kidding. Faith in something happening. And when can something happen? Today. Hallelujah. So we got to get up with that attitude every day. Today is the day. Something's going to happen and it's going to be great. Praise the Lord. When evening had come, he said to them, "Let us cross over to the other side." Now when they had left the multitude, they took him along the along in the boat as he was. There it is. They took him as he was. Somebody say, "Lord, I take you as you is." That doesn't, grammatically it doesn't make any sense, but you understand, right? Lord, I take you, you took me as I is, and I take you as you is. And one of us is going to be changing, and it's not going to be you. And praise the Lord for that, right? They took him as he was, and other little boats were also with him. People followed, right? There goes Jesus, get the boat. It's getting dark. I don't care, it's Jesus. Follow him. Follow him. Follow that boat, right? And what do? They followed him. Praise the Lord. What are you doing? Following him. Amen. That's what I'm doing. Praise God. And a great windstorm arose. Oh, great. We followed Jesus, and here comes a windstorm. What were we thinking? And he isn't even in the same boat we are. Turn around, right? And the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. But what's Jesus doing? He, in verse 38, but he was in the stern asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said, "Teacher!" Notice they downgraded him. Not the Lord, not Messiah. "Teacher!" Right? Grab a bucket. Right? Can you help us out here? "Do you not care that we are perishing?" And I love Charles Capp shared about this story. He said, "Don't ever wake up Jesus and tell him what the devil told you." He does not appreciate that, right? "Jesus, we're going to die. Don't you care?" Wrong thing to say, right? You'd think the people that had him in the boat would have a little bit more faith, right? It's easy for us to preach, you know, this side of the cross. But had I been there, who knows, right? They woke him up. Why is Jesus asleep? Because he was exhausted? Because he'd been smoking weed? No. Somebody say no, right? He was completely at peace. He was showing them, "Dude, guys, there ain't nothing to worry about. This storm ain't got nothing." He's living in a higher place with God, right? He's not moved by the storm. Amen. And you and me, we can sleep right through the storm too. I remember a Snake River story when Randy, my brother, came one year and slept right through a thunderstorm. We were all sleeping outside. And every one of us got out of the thunderstorm, and Randy woke up in the morning, zipped up to his sleeping bag over his head, drenched, and he had no idea there was a thunderstorm. He was at perfect peace. Amen. Praise the Lord. And then verse 39, so Jesus arose, and what did he do? Grab a bucket? "Oh my goodness, what was I thinking? There's all these other boats with us. We're all going to die." No. He arose and rebuked the wind. Now, what a nutcase, right? That ain't going to help. That's not how we understand that we deal with this. Well, he went above the understanding, right? Why? He had his quiet time with his father. He knew how to handle this, right? He arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still," which means be quiet, shut up. Yeah. You know what I would love? I would love to have a YouTube video of every time John Wayne says shut up in one of his movies. It's classic. It's classic. There's one movie called North to Alaska, and this little Elvis lookalike Fabian co-star with him, and he says something, and he goes, "Oh, shut up." Oh, it's classic. Every time John Wayne says shut up, it's awesome. It's gold. And I bet Jesus had some of that in him when he... Oh, and you know, well, you should, they probably thought they were talking to them, right? And he's talking to the storm. He's not talking to Peter. He might have been. Oh, well, you guys, just get out of my way. shut up! And then it's, oh, what a trip that must have been for these guys, right? And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And then those guys are probably looking at each other like, okay, what do we say to him now? What do we say? What do we say to him, right? There was a great calm. Don't you know Jesus is our great calm, no matter what's going on in our life. And not only that, but you and I, Jesus didn't turn around and say, no, let's read on before we go there, right? But he said to them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, who can this be that even the wind and sea obey him? Notice he didn't say to them, don't ever try that. It won't work for you. I'm God the Son here, right? Don't ever try that. No, he said, where's your faith? Why didn't you do that? I'm right here to back you up in the boat, right? Just next time that storm comes up, you get out there and talk to the, anybody ever go out and talk to a storm? You should. We've had tornado warnings around here in the past few years. I remember one in the past couple years, several years ago probably, in Washougal, they said, and I'm out working, and my kids are at school. And I, you know what I did? I talked to it. In the name of Jesus, tornado, you will not come near that school. And it never manifested. Right? Well, that was just going to happen anyway. Well, maybe. But the Word of God is working. If you speak it with faith based on something you saw and heard in the Word of God, that's different than just, I wish. We're not talking about a genie here. Right? I wish I may, I wish I might. No, we're talking about faith in God here. Faith in God, something we saw Jesus do. And he did not tell you after he did it, don't ever try this. Amen? We were at the beach not too long ago, and there was this goofball, like, staring us down in a parking lot. I mean, you feel it when somebody's not right. And this dude is staring at us, and in the flesh, I started, I'm going to go over there. And you know, in the flesh, you start going there. It's like, Lord said, no, just rebuke. It's a demon spirit controlling that guy. So I looked in the van. My family had gone off to the restaurant, and I said, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke you, Satan. I bind you, Satan. I looked over there, and he was gone. Car, everything, gone. It was like maybe 30 seconds. That works better than taking my fists over there, right? And it's a better witness. Right? Amen. Praise the Lord. So walking in this peace is a choice. It's a choice. Amen. We choose to keep our eyes on Jesus, to say what he says, think what he thinks, take everything we understand. Doesn't mean we check our brain in at the door. God gave us a brain for a reason. Amen? He'll work with our brains and our understanding and our minds. I love how God chose the Jewish people. You talk about some emotional people. I mean, something happens, they tear their clothes, throw dust on their head, you know? Mourn for days or celebrate for days. Ah! You know, God loves the Jewish people, right? We have a God. Sometimes we look at God like Spock, right? No emotion. No. But our emotions, right? Our feelings, our will, our thoughts need to be submitted to the Word of God at all times. Not just sometimes. How often? At all times. At all times. Amen? And as we do that, we're going to be walking in the peace of God. Things that used to rattle you. How many of you can testify stuff that used to rattle you doesn't rattle you anymore? Right? Amen? Stuff that used to get you mad, get your danders up, take you somewhere in your head doesn't work. Why? Because the devil's been exposed. Right? Amen? And you're smarter than that now. You've gone up to a higher place. Amen. I would say this. I would venture a guess at this, that his peace surpassing my understanding doesn't mean I don't use my understanding at all. It means that my understanding needs to be growing about who he is and how much bigger he is than the blood pressure, than the sickness problem, than the family issue, talked, what do? Do what Jesus, he talked to storms. So I can talk to family issues without talking to the family. Sometimes you want to talk to family people. Hey, listen, you are the issue. And I bind you. No. You don't bind the person. You bind the devil, right? In the name of Jesus, you spirit of strife that's rising up in this family, I take authority over you, cast you out in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And then to go about your day praising God and amen. Somebody say, I'm going to do it. Now see, what you did right there is you moved from the fruit to the gifts. So the gifts generate, the fruit of peace will generate that gift of walking in authority, seeing supernatural things happen in your life. Amen. It all comes with following Jesus today. Amen. Let's pray. Lindsay, could you go up on the piano just because you do that so beautifully? Amen. I'm so blessed to have beautiful daughters. Hallelujah. Lacey's going to be a senior this next year. And Lindsay's a sophomore now. The boys are 8th grade and 6th grade. Praise God for our kids. Amen. And your kids too. Well, Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for this wonderful word that you shared with us today. We choose somebody to say, Lord, I choose to follow you today. And let your peace reign in every area of my life, in my thoughts, in my words, in my will, in my feelings. I let your word and your peace rule and reign today. And I remember, I think it was Gloria Copeland teaching about the peace of God is like the umpire in our spirit. And it'll show you, you know what? That thought needs to be out. That thought is safe, according to the word of God, right? And so we just, Lord, we just choose to allow your peace to be the umpire in our spirits, the voice in our spirits. By the Holy Ghost, we will know and recognize that peace of God and allow that to rule and reign in every area of our lives. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, that we can be at peace right now, no matter what situations and circumstances and issues are floundering around us, Lord. We choose to be like Jesus and just take a nap in the middle of that. In our spirit, we're just saying, you know what? God's got this thing. He's bigger than this thing. He's higher than this thing. He's stronger than this thing. I'm just going to allow that thing to go on by, pass over. Hallelujah. God is superior to this. He's higher. He's better than this. And I choose to put my trust in him today. In the mighty name of Jesus. Somebody say amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Have a blessed day, everybody, and thanks for coming to church today. Next week, we'll have a celebration service, and in 2 weeks, I guess it is, or three weeks, we'll have our barbecue. Amen.